Good morning, everyone. All right, we're honored this morning. If you remember last week, I'd done the introduction to Matthew 23. We have the honor of having John Clinton come all the way out here from way off somewhere. Where's that, Allen Park or someplace? To speak to us this morning. So we're honored to have him, and I know he has a good word for us. So has everybody got breakfast? Everybody ready for another filling of the word? Yep. Amen. All right, John, Amen. Who would you like to pray for you this morning?
Oh, goodness. Alma.
Alma. Where's Alma? Come here. You got to do everything this morning. Make breakfast, pray. Don't forget to clean the windows before you leave.
Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you that everyone made it here safely, Lord. And we just thank you for John and preparing the word to share with us today, Lord. May it penetrate our hearts, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, as Bob had indicated, we are going to be starting, and I guess I am the first to start on the woes. You know, that's right. It reminds me of my grandson. Whenever he wants to get your attention on anything, he'll come up to you and he'll say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 Papa." And then he goes on to tell you what he wants to talk. He's babbling and you don't understand him. And you say, "Oh, that's great." But anyway, there is something to be listened to here in the woes that are being given. And the first one that I'm going to be reading is Matthew 23:13, and it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." You know, it's for those of us who have studied the Bible and read the Scripture, it's easy for us to look back at history and look at all of these things that went on back in the day, and we can understand the reason for the warnings, because we're looking back and seeing some of the foolishness that the leadership of the time did. But when we read this, when we read about this and understanding their hypocrisy, it does not stop us actually from putting ourselves in the same position. It's just as much a word for today as it was back then. Scripture is never ending. It's applicable to all of our lives. We like the scribes and Pharisees are sometimes so intent on people being obedient and righteous that we set up judgment against one another. How many of us have done that? We are all guilty. We are all guilty of setting up judgment. And you know, and the thing is that we certainly are capable of judging sin, but we certainly are not here to set judgment against somebody. There's a difference. You know, God will judge for eternity. We can judge sin so that we can help somebody correct it. Amen? Sometimes when we hear what sin this person did, what sin that person did, And we hear it time and time and again. Doesn't it frustrate us? We deal with this, and especially when you're in leadership, you deal with this a lot. And some of us deal with it every day with people that we come in encounter with, family members, church members, whatever. And in our frustration, we may feel like we need to accuse all the sinners and attempt to stop all the sin. Don't we? We get like the Pharisees. We want to create the rules so that you'll stop your sin. But it doesn't work. And why is that? Because the world doesn't know the gift. The world does not know Jesus Christ to make a change in their life. As a matter of fact, the world doesn't care about their sin. They are choosing their sin. They are choosing to live in it. So therefore, you trying to stop them from doing what they want doesn't apply. And in some cases, even in the church, it's difficult. Sometimes you got to be very careful how you approach somebody, because they, while they're acting Christian, may not have received the benefit of the gift. We can know the word of God, but we may not really understand it. And I'm going to get to that. And through our accusations, we put the world and we put each other under the law. Because in Galatians 3:10, it says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written by the book of the law." You know, I'm going to tell you that while this says that the law is a curse, it is also good. You know, the law was given to us by God. It is not a bad thing, right? It is our position to be obedient to the law. That is what God gave it to us, so that he was protecting each of us against each other. He wanted us to also give us instruction on what was important to him. And importance to him was that we love him. And then the rest of the laws usually come back to what are we doing to each other. And that's good, because if we can stop harming each other, the law is a very good thing. But if the law is good, why is it a curse? Because the flesh can't live by the law. We will follow our own desires, as you can see the world doing, and we do it ourselves if we'll admit to it. We follow what we want, which many times when we follow the flesh, what do? We put ourselves under the law, because the flesh wants what it wants. By the way, you know, the flesh really isn't what we think it is. We look at the flesh as this hard body, but the truth of it is, your ego is what you're dealing with. It is your own personal ego that you're struggling to get pointed in the right direction. It doesn't have anything to do with this. This thing just follows what you think. And it becomes the instrument of the sin, but the true sin is inside of us. And that's the flesh that we fight. And that's what we need to understand, because we want to blame this thing when it's really coming out of here. Amen? In Galatians 5:16-18, it says, "So I say," actually 16 and 17, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." So it's very easy to see that we are led by our desires. What desires are we led by? Anybody? Greed? Pride, self-indulgence, lust. We have a lot of these things, fear, you know. When we look at self-indulgence, for example, the question I ask is, are we blessed or are we cursed by what we have? When you think about, and the question you need to ask yourself is, do we serve God so we can get, or do we serve God so we can give? You know, so many times I hear blessing that we received a blessing. We got what we wanted, so God blessed us. And yet maybe what we've been set up for is failure. We got a new house because, you know, we were blessed by God. We got this house that we were looking for, but it's way over our budget, but it's a blessing. You know, we got whatever, brand new car. Boy, God bless me with this car. It's $500 a month, but I got it. You know. So you gotta be careful on what we look for, because if you're looking to get from God, you've already been given the gift. Eternal life is something that you need to grasp with your whole heart. You know, the love of Christ, you need to grasp that with your whole heart, because otherwise, you know, you're going to be struggling in your walk for the rest of your life. It's something that when you grab God and you understand what he's given you, you are eternally grateful. Well, that goes back to my statement about being cursed by the law. Because if you live by your flesh, you will be cursed by the law, because you'll be living under the law. So, you know, And yes, I guess you could say we all go back and forth between blessings and curses because we all struggle. And that's the great thing about the grace and mercy of God. It takes us beyond the curse. It allows us to come back through to the side that we need to be on to be blessed. And even in struggle is not a curse. Struggle is probably your best friend, because that's where you're going to learn to grow your faith. So when we look at struggle, you can call it a curse all you want, but if God's got that in your life for your benefit, that's actually a blessing. So I had, the other thing too, when we talk about pride, and the question you always need to ask yourself in anything that you do, how important is it for you to get recognition for what you do? When you ask yourself, if you're doing something because you're going to get something again, going back to the self-indulgence to a little bit, but the question is how important is it for you to get recognition for your position, for your whatever, for the work that you do? Somebody's not giving you enough attention, those kinds of things. Our flesh is going to rise up, and I'm not going to say we're not perfect, but all I'm trying to put out there to you is what is the real condition of your heart? What is it that you really need in order to serve God more? Do you need God to continue to bless you, bless you, bless you? You'll be like the Jews running in the desert, complaining every single day because I'm not getting, and yet at the same time, they were blessed every single day. They lived by the manna and the gift of water, whatever was left. But they every day they complained. So we don't want to be like that. That puts us back under the law, because now here we're struggling because we haven't accepted the gift. All of these desires put us under the law, because in order to be righteous under the law, we need to give up each one just because of the law. Everything that you do, you have to give it over to the law. You have to say, okay, I'm not going to do that because the law says I can't. The question I have is, what relationship do you have with the law? Anybody? Do you have a relationship with the law?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd be lawless. There's always law. What relationship does the law have with you? And when I'm speaking of relationship, I'm speaking in terms now. I want to speak in terms of not just the fact that the law has a relationship to us being controlled by it or managed by it, but I'm talking about what is it that the law, what kind of emotion can you express to the law, and can the law express to you?
If you don't know your relationship to the law, read Psalm 119. Oh, how I love thy law. Your commandments make me wiser than my... See, the law is very important. What, in the context, obviously, of John speaking, the Pharisees and Sadducees had all this man-made law that was added to what God wanted. That's why he tells them here, that you yourselves aren't entering, and you keep those that would try to enter, because they lay upon them all this different law. The law was a blessing to men. It was to keep them from harm, and like you were saying earlier, and even Charlie had it, it could be a blessing. So God set up these parameters, but our attitude towards the law should be, we should love God's law. The problem is, the world hates God's law, and it loves its own law.
Yep.
It's autonomous. It wants to make its own law. There always will be a law that you have to submit to. Mm-hmm. But that should be our attitude towards God's law. I love your law. Thank you for your law. Thank you for the parameters you've given me. Otherwise, we'd be doing, like in the book of Judges, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And we see where that leads to.
Right.
Okay? But the law is very, very, and Jesus laid the law down, didn't he?
Absolutely.
His first law was, to love one another. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't come to eliminate this law. I came to fulfill it. It wasn't all the additions that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all them put on it. But it was something to as you said, John, the proper relationship between men and women and men and men towards God. That's what God's law cultivates. And so that's why it's so important. And we have a society today, especially in the church, where we're lawless. We want to do our own thing. We don't have to obey law. Mm-hmm. We just have to hear a little voice, and it's going to tell us what to do. And we think that that's, you know. And I've told this story before. We had a couple that showed up at church years ago. A lady used to be in the church. And she, yeah, God knows my, came in, and she's with another man. She was married. I knew her husband. And she's with another man holding hands during worship. You remember, you know, and so after the service, I went to them and I said, you know, what you're doing is wrong. What I do, I'm pointing out, you're married to someone else. You can't be with this guy. Oh, they're both married. Yeah, that's right. And she was married, or her husband was married to another woman out on the West Coast. I mean, you know, it was just like the never-ending puzzle. And she said, well, in God's eyes, we're married. We're already married. I said, no, you're not. Okay, because they wanted to reject God, what God had to say about it, and create their own law, because as you said, John, their flesh, that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
So the law is good. It's there for our protection. It's there for us to bring glory to God by obedience of it. It doesn't get us into heaven, but it's our standard by which we conduct our lives towards God, towards each other, and towards even unbelievers.
And I believe in Psalms, when that was being spoken to, that relationship up to the law was based on the relationship that he had with God, you know. And so because he understood and loved God, he loved the law, as we should ourselves. But the reality is that when you look at the law, the law is the words on a piece of paper. They don't, in our own minds, we sometimes can't relate to standards as much as we can relate to a person. Does that make sense?
We only like the laws we agree with.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to give you a law that even Christians don't agree with.
On homosexuality. What does the scripture say about homosexuality?
It's abomination.
What was the punishment for homosexuality?
Death.
Where do you read that at? Well, it's in the Old Testament. Guess what? It's also in the New Testament. Here's another one you'll love. How about a child that strikes its parents?
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Do you know Jesus upheld that law? So, you see, we want to pick and choose, and there's some, and we don't understand why Christ or God would give those laws originally in the Old Testament, you know. And there was a purpose to it, and it was the proper order of society, the proper order of relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're just as guilty, because there's times we want to back away. We don't want to stand up and say, well, you know, I don't know about that. You know, that was kind of Old Testament. You know, that we don't do that anymore. You know, we're more enlightened. So, we're all guilty of that. And how many people you see stand up and say, this is what God says. This was the punishment for it, mm-hmm. you know. And this why was to protect society, to protect God's yes. covenant people.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, we think about the things that God has given us here. You have to realize that, you know, a third of his angels who were with him rejected him,
right.
wanted their own way, wanted to be God themselves. So, you know, when you think about what's going to happen here on earth, when you have it so... You know, the idea of the way we have to come to God is a great plan by God. Because when you know that you've got people, you've got angels there that see you, see your glory, see everything, and can reject you, those who seek to find him will be blessed. And that's our struggle. That's our challenge, that we can overcome our flesh to seek God more and put him first beyond anything else. And so how do we get out from under the law? Now, while we want to obey the law, and the law is good, how can we make life easier for ourselves? It's not just ignoring the law, but how do we make our life easier? It says in Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, that's, you know... It's a difficult thing to understand, that comprehension. But the thing is going back again And also, I'm going to read this next. We can only be led by the Spirit by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? We all know that. That's part of our being Christian. But Galatians 5:24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying, and envying each other. You know, those are things that while we crucify the flesh as Jesus crucified himself, but that's also a very difficult thing for us, is it not? While our relationship with the law is because of our love of God, we can have a relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. And that's what changes our life. And we all know that that relationship with Christ is the beginning of our Christian walk, but the sustaining of it comes by understanding the grace, mercy, and love afforded us by Jesus. By Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, it gives us a greater desire to understand the gift that he's given us. And when we pour in, you know, you can accept this, and I'm trying to encourage everybody to dig into prayer and reading the scripture and doing those things that sustain a Christian in their walk. Because if your faith is weak, it will be challenged and it will fall and it will fail in times of trial. But if your faith is strong, just like the apostles who were thrown in prison and beaten, and all of the things that happened to them, they stood fast in their faith. And they were not given up on their beliefs. While the law is good, Christ said he has a better way. You see, being in a place with God should make us content regardless of the situation. Right? No matter what struggles, no matter what trials we're going through, there should be a time we should be practiced enough as we grow through our Christian walk that we can come back to that place of security in that relationship with Christ. That relationship that says, regardless of this trial, it doesn't mean that you can go out and be the accuser again. But as you develop your relationship with Christ, you become what Pastor John was talking about last Sunday. You become part of the reconciliation, the restoration. Ultimately, deliverance from sin requires that we are ultimately delivered from being sin-focused. And that's the problem that we have a lot of times when we're struggling with our sin, is that we focus on the sin. Doesn't the sin, whenever you're focusing on something that you know is a sin, makes you desire it more. Anytime you do something that you know is wrong and you try to stop yourself from doing it, sometimes it even makes it more desirable. So the thing is that you need to make choices now that will allow you to either stop looking at it or focus on something different. You need to have a place where you can go in prayer in Christ that will take you away from the desire of that sin. And that takes a lot of practice sometimes, and it takes a lot of willpower. But Christ can help you through that. That's where the strength is, through the Holy Spirit. You can be delivered. If we start to focus on the glory of God, that will help us overcome. That take us away from that focus on sin. Once we repent of a sin, we must then trust the power of the cross to be sufficient to pay the price for it. This means that we do not continue beating ourselves up for it. You know, if you have no grace for yourself, it's very difficult to forgive yourself and move on and allow God to forgive you and heal you. So if you keep bringing that up and how much you failed, you know, it's an insult to the cross. It's an insult, and we are implying that the cross isn't enough. That we must pay something for our sin when Christ already paid for it.
If we can't have grace on ourselves, it's hard to have grace on other people too, John.
Right. You're right. In order for the cross to be sufficient to us, it must mean something to you. That gift of that death on the cross has to mean something to you if you're going to change your life. Because something has to be more important to you than the things that you've made important to yourself in the past. And it takes a lot of focus on your part in order to do that. It takes some time and energy. I mean, if you're struggling with sin day in and day out and you spend 15 hours a day doing what you want to do instead of focusing on the things of God, it's going to be a struggle for you. We need to focus on, accept, and represent the grace, mercy, and love that is behind the cross. There is a balance here, by the way. I'm not saying that grace and mercy is the answer every single time, and love, I mean, all those things are necessary, but it is the first part of the equation. It is important to know where you're coming from when you begin to offer guidance or propose correction into somebody's life. What you need to ask yourself is, what is the intent of my heart for this person? What am I trying to do here? Am I trying to make myself a more spiritual person in their eyes? Or am I trying to just release my frustration that I've had with them this whole time? I mean, what annoys us the most about people? You look at the people that annoy you in your life, and those are the people that you need to start to have grace with. Those are the people that you need to start to help. Because, you see, people struggle because they don't know enough about the gift. They don't know enough about Jesus. So if they're struggling with that, it's our part to help them understand that. And I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how long. You can be in here 20, 30 years. You can be the same Christian today as you were 10 years ago. Not moved a bit. Because you've kind of stopped reading or you stopped your relationship with God. It's just like anybody who's left your family. Anybody who's died in the past, you know, you still have a relationship there. You have feelings for that, but it fades as time goes on. It's not as a crisis to you as it was when it first happened today, as it was back then. And same thing happens with God. If we don't nurture that relationship's going to fade, and it's not going to mean as much to us when we make our future decisions about what we want. And we're not going to have the right position in our heart to make the right decision that God wants us to make. You know, hypocrisy goes both ways. We look at the permissiveness of churches. You know, it's not just not legalistic, but we look at the permissiveness of churches today. How many people are being led into sin by pastors who want to be politically correct? We have to watch out that we're not listening to the word for something that will tickle our ears. You know, there's very, very good, energetic teachers out there, very good encouragers. But the fact of the matter is that, I mean, if you look at some of the big TV evangelists, some of them are just there. There's nothing that I ever see that challenges sometimes what we do wrong. It's all about what we can do with our life. And those are good things, but they also need to be balanced. Everything needs balance. We need to be challenged to change our lives so that it mirrors what Christ did. And that's what the Word of God is, it gives us. It helps us to understand all of that. We need to understand God's Word so that we don't get sympathetic for the sin that the world is trying to negate the Word with. You know, they're trying to negate everything that we believe in by making us. That's why, if you ever watch anything on TV, there used to be nothing related to homosexuality on TV years ago. Now, every single program has something related to it. And so, what is that doing? It's making us look at them from a different perspective. It's softening and the younger generation is really going to be impacted by this because everything that they do and watch on TV is related to that. I mean, their hearts are going to be changed. So they're impacting the young people, and that's where we are. We are doing that here with the school, but we need to do it in a bigger way. as each individual. And I'm going to leave you with this. Reading the Word is not knowing it. And knowing the Word does not mean you understand it. When you read the Word, pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance and pray with the desire to understand God's purpose with the love that He has for us so that we can share that with everyone else. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, John. Give John a hand. Thank you. John, who would you like to close? You got all the power today.
I got all the power. All right. Beth will let you close.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, this opportunity to hear your word from John. We thank John for putting all the work into it. Lord, we just give you all the glory for just allowing us to be here freely, Father, and to hear this. We just ask that you watch us throughout the day, Father, as we go into our praise and worship and sermon. In your blessed name, amen.
Amen.